Well, nothing is going off in the Middle East, so markets are forgetting about that for now, and bond yields are starting to fall back down a little. The Bank of England might be going a bit later than Andrew Bailey had hinted at 24 hours ago. Services inflation is proving to be resilient, and so are wages. There's some talk that they'll only get in one cut this year, but has much changed really? We'll look at that today. And New Zealand CPI also. Then today, Australian employment numbers. Remember that surprise move in February? Will they drop back down again? It's Thursday, the 18th of April, 2024. It's the Morning Call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar has actually fallen today. It's down 0.25% on the DXY. That's the first fall in seven sessions. That's helped the Aussie a little, which is up 0.5% to 64.4 US cents. The Kiwi dollar up a similar amount, also a 0.5% lift in the euro, and a 0.2% added to the pound. Bond yields have fallen as well. 10-year treasury is down 9 basis points to 4.58%. Aussie 10 years, well, they were up 5 basis points yesterday to 4.38%, but they've fallen 4 basis points from that on futures overnight. UK 10-year gilts are down 4 basis points this morning, down 2 for German 10 years. But stocks still taking a hit for the fourth session in a row. The Nasdaq is down 1.2%, 0.6% lower for the S&P. The Dow just in the green for most of the session by a way thin amount, falling into the red though at close, down just 0.1%. The Eurostox 50 closed just in the red as well, but the FTSE 100 closed up 0.33%. And big falls in oil, WTI and Brent, both down about 3%. Brent well south of 90 now, around 87.40 a barrel, with no new news from the Middle East, coupled with rising inventories as well. So a bit of a turnaround on markets. Let's dig into that with NAB's Rodrigo Catrille in Sydney. I mean, the good news for the UK yesterday was that inflation was down. The bad news was not as much as expected. And services inflation has hardly moved down at all, from 6.1% as the 12-month rate for February, down to 6% compared to goods, which are down at 0.8%. So that services number is a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yes, morning, Phil. So so a slight disappointment there in terms of the details. Encouragingly, we were obviously seeing inflation declining, but not as much as was expected. And then there's all this quirkiness around maybe the Easter break had a factor in there in terms of playing, as you say, particularly the services side of the inflation reading. But overall, it does play to the view that in terms of the inflation dynamics or the disinflation dynamics are going in the right direction. Not quite as quickly as expected, particularly in terms of services, and it does also mean that for now, you know, the Bank of England can wait and see to see further improvements, if you like, in terms of those inflation readings. And in fact, that's what Governor Bailey was saying after the numbers, saying that, you know, he believed that they're pretty much on track relative to what they had expected back in February. And then also noted that when you look ahead, particularly, you know, because of those energy cap adjustments, that you should expect further declines in terms of those inflation readings, which is something that Gavin has also been emphasizing. So for now, it basically setting up this scene for a proper discussion, I would say, in probably a month's time, in terms of what the bank is seeing. So the bank meets again in May, and then we think that will be a good time for the governor and the MP members to set up the scene in terms of what to expect over the second half of the year. Do we know?
Have we got an inkling? Because I mean, I've read a lot of commentary over the last 24 hours, and everyone seems to be going in a different direction. From, well, this is a signal that they can cut more, to others saying, well, there's probably only going to be one, if that.
Well, I suppose, from our perspective, what we're seeing here is that we're seeing a slowdown in the economy. We're also seeing those disinflation drivers easing, with the caveat that services inflation is a concern, whilst wages growth are also still too high for comfort. But at the same time, you know, when you look ahead, there's this confidence that inflation dynamics should continue to ease. So our sense is that when it comes to the May meeting, then the Bank of England will have more clarity in these dynamics. and it should provide us a little bit more of a proper steer, which, you know, the governor has already been saying, you know, that every meeting is kind of live and the discussion will be more robust, if you like, at the next meeting.
But that sticky services number must be a worry. And then on top of that, you've got average earnings still growing at 6% as well, even though the number of jobs is falling. And I appreciate that there's a, you know, there's a lag effect. So people lose their jobs and then the ability to negotiate falls somewhat later than that. But average earnings at 6%, that's, you know, very high still.
Yes. And if anything, that's the, you know, the discussion that, you know, it applies to New Zealand and even here what we're seeing in Australia, that it's not just the core that matters, because we've had this massive goods disinflation while services inflation remains elevated. We're also seeing, you know, some evidence that goods inflation is starting to rise again, or at least it has based and now it's rising from a low level. Therefore, in order for core to remain or continue to decline, you actually need to see that services component to decline. And that's what effectively will likely keep central banks cautious. Even if you close to hitting your target, it's not just about hitting it, it's about having that belief that you can sustain that level over an extended period of time. And that's why we think a little bit more time is needed.
And is it the same story for New Zealand then? Because we saw, 4% year on year is the lowest inflation rate for almost 3 years. But there's a bit of a stall in the downward movement of their core numbers. So it's sort of the same story, isn't it? This all gets down to the last mile being the difficult mile, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. And again, it's the non-tradables and that services inflation that is a concern. But when you look at the New Zealand economy, I think that we're sort of a bit more kind of encouraged by what we should be expecting in terms of those inflation dynamics. You know, like when you look at inflation expectations, they're well anchored. When you look at the fiscal plan, it's also, you know, very conservative, if you like. So the government's not going to be contributing to these inflation dynamics. And if anything, the Prime Minister was talking about it on Monday, I think. And again, so fiscal policy will be a restraint in the Conservative government. And then, of course, the other important factors that when you look at the growth dynamics and the leading indicators for the economy, you know, it's not looking good. It's pointing to further weakness in the New Zealand economy. So this plays to the view that this decline that you're seeing in inflation pressures should continue over coming months and quarters. And we still think that it's right to think that the Bank of New Zealand will be talking about rate cuts in the second half of this year.
Right. Now, is it just politicking or is it real? Joe Biden has been talking about tripling tariffs on Chinese steel. And is it just steel? Does it include things made out of steel, like electric cars, for example?
So he was talking to the Steelworkers Union in Pittsburgh, and there's a lot of debate going on there because the Japanese want to buy the steel company in the US, but at the same time, there's a lot of debates around, you know, how much the Chinese, you know, competing in the market and whether that competition is fair. So Biden pointed out that he didn't think it was fair because Chinese steelmakers have unfairly low prices given the subsidies that they have. And then he promised that, you know, he will protect the steel industry in the US and propose this tripling of the steel and steel related products and aluminium. In order to protect them.
So is he protecting it from foreign imports, but he's going to allow a Japanese company to own the operations within the US?
No. So he also wants to prevent the Japanese company buying the steel in the US. So it's two things. One, he's not keen on the idea that a foreign company should own the US steel, and two, he wants to protect the steel company by introducing these tariffs. Now, there's a process in terms of the tariffs ideas. We've got to remember that there's a US trade representative, she will be presenting, and it's expected to happen pretty soon, the long-awaited review of, I think it's Section 300 and something on duties. And then the idea is that it's not just about steel, to answer your early question. It's very likely that she will talk about tariffs on other industries and other sectors, with electric vehicles, of course, being one big component. So obviously, there's also the political context to all of this. We are heading towards an election. Trump, we all know, is very aggressive on China and wants to be very aggressive in terms of those introduction of tariffs. So a little bit of front running, if you like, by Biden. And also he needs to be seen as also being very strong against China. So the expectations are pretty high that we should be expecting some tariffs being announced before the election. What the conclusion is from the trade representative long-awaited report will be super important. And it's unclear when this is going to happen, but people are now talking about potentially, you know, weeks rather than months in terms of some announcement.
Yeah, we can certainly expect more protectionism, can't we, over the next year or so. That's for sure. The dial has certainly changed on that. So today, Australia's employment numbers, the unemployment numbers expected to rise up from 3.7 to 3.9%. Of course, it was 4.1% in January. It was February that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? So maybe just a bit of readjustment.
Maybe. You know, what is super interesting is that you look at the distribution of the forecast. We are in a kind of more positive outlook. We expect 30,000 tailors than the numbers. But when you look at the distribution of forecast, is pretty wide. You know, you have like minus 42.5, I think, and 40,000 on the other end. So it's a very flat and with long tails distribution in terms of forecast. So some believe that there should be some serious payback given that strong number that we had last month. But we are kind of on the other camp where we think that the strong number was actually payback for the weakness that we saw in the previous 2 months. So so this will be important because if we are right, then the conclusion will be that the weakness or the softening of the labor market is going to be a little bit slower than what the RBA is expecting. You know, the RBA had penciled in an unemployment rate of 4.2% by the end of Q2. We are at 3.7. We expect a small uptick in the unemployment rate to 3.8. So again, you know, the labor market is softening, but not as quickly as what the RBA it was thinking back in February.
Well, considering, you know, before the pandemic, we were around 5%, weren't we? So, you know, sort of like these one decimal point moves is, you know, insignificant if you compare it back to where we were.
Yeah. And if you look at the trend in the last 6 months, we've gone sideways. There hasn't been any weakness as such. It's just been just a bit of noise around the number, which can be a little bit volatile, which is another thing to remember.
Yeah. Now, Japan's tertiary industry index, is that important? I mean, it's sort of like, sounds like, I mean, if you follow English football, it's like following League Division One. You know, who cares about, you know, so how is Leighton Orient doing?
Well, a lot of people do care, but not yeah.
So, but tertiary industries,
yeah.
Huh?
Not as important as the first and the second.
Right. Okay, so we should brush over that then, perhaps. So the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index, that's important, I guess. And another one of these regional surveys. They're volatile, of course, but the weekly jobless claims numbers, existing home sales as well. Today, which rose 9.5% in March from a low base, of course, and expectations have shifted somewhat since then as well, haven't they, of course?
Yeah. Again, those numbers on a monthly basis can be quite volatile. But certainly there's a bit of a, if you like, a genuine payback expected after that big jump in the previous month. But yeah, no major sort of, not expected to be a market mover at all.
Right. And central bankers. So from the Fed, we've got Williams, Bowman, Bostic. The question is, are they all going to echo sort of what's been a change in sentiment? Sort of like Jerome Powell is moving around a bit lately, it seems.
Well, yeah, the main takeaway from yesterday, as we talked about it, was that The Fed chair really sort of ratified the price action that we've seen. We've seen the market already move towards a delay of any of rate cuts this year. And of course, we've seen U.S. Treasury yields rise significantly in recent days. So in particular, you know, we talked about that two-year rate touching that 5% level. And when you look at the rates and the price action since the Fed has been hiking, any level above 5% in the two-year, It's close, basically, it's as good as it gets, unless you think that, you know, the Fed will be hiking rather than talking about rate cuts over the next 12 months. So it's important. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen at the moment, of course, in the price action in the past 24 hours, is that the market is sort of now calmed down, if you like, and we've seen a bit of an ease in those yields, not only in the front end, but also in the back end as well.
Yeah, must be very hard living with a central banker, mustn't it, who sort of like takes a deliberates so much. You wouldn't be able to make any decision. You know, should we go out for dinner on Friday? They'd be there going, well, you know, I need to see how
the weather.
Yeah, I need to see how the week unfolds, what the data is. There's a lot of factors to be taken into account, and you're there going, look, do I book a bloody table or not? it must be very difficult. I'm glad I'm not married to a central bank. I'm glad I'm not married to Jerome Powell.
Or an economist.
Or an economist, exactly, which would be even worse, wouldn't it? Because then you just wouldn't know where you stood on anything at all. Anyway, good to talk. We'll catch you. You're not on next, Rodrigo, by surprise.
No, I'm not.
So we'll get someone else on. Give someone else a chance, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, cheers, Phil.
Problem is, he just loves being on so much. So much of his identity is attached to being on the morning call. It's difficult to keep him off. That's it for me. I'm Phil Dobby. I'm always here, of course, and I'm back on tomorrow morning for another one. I'll see you then. Thanks for listening.